business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions.
Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Welcome to episode 70 of Not a Real Job, a podcast about how to turn your hobbies and skills into things that pay the bills. I am Joel Kelly, and I do marketing and social media stuff in Canada.
I am Chris Van Patten, and I do very little in New York. But wow, Joel, that was a great intro.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Got a little rhyme there. It was perfect.
Yeah, let's go back and re-record every intro for the last 69 episodes.
Well, I mean, I think the last one, the one that I did last week, was actually probably a little bit better.
Was that Hobbies and Jobbies?
That was Hobbies and Jobbies, yeah. I mean, slightly better.
Slightly, yeah. I mean, it's all on a spectrum. And I think those two are definitely, you know, let's say they're vying for first place and everything else is the pits.
Well, I would say that, you know, 69, 70 episodes in here, we are finally hitting our stride. It took a while.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's probably still a bit of an overstatement. Mm-hmm. Unless our stride is just never going to be.
It's a low
that
bar.
Good. Yeah. It's kind of a limping stride, but we've hit it.
Yeah. We're there.
And I'd say we're coasting. We certainly haven't improved over the last, let's say, 20 episodes.
No, no. I mean, if anything, I think we've sort of plateaued. Perhaps. Is that fair?
Yeah, but I mean, what do you call it when the plateau was always the ground?
Sad.
Yeah, I think we've plateaued in the sense like someone who takes one or two steps and then just kind of lays down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of sums up life. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what are you drinking today?
Great question. I am drinking apple cider.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not a hard cider.
Okay. That was, yeah.
I guessed. No, it's just a plain old cold juice-like drink.
Hmm. A cold apple cider. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this a local product? Did you make this yourself? Is this something you picked up from a local orchard?
Well, you know, I actually... I went to a cider house and got a job there.
Now, what are the rules?
Apprenticed for a little while. Well, that's a great question. I really can't share the rules with you. That's it's, you know, the first rule of cider house has, club. Yeah. I bought it in a gallon at the local supermarket. So
bodega.
No, not a bodega. No,
a delicatessen.
Not quite. Getting closer.
Well, my understanding of New York City is that it's all kind of local. Like every block, you know, has a small local bodega or deli, and you go in there, and everybody knows each other's names. And supermarkets are something that people in, let's say, New Jersey would go to with their Costcos and their Walmarts.
Well, I mean, the supermarkets you're going to see here are not, generally speaking, your name brand establishments.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've got the Trade Fair, the Key Food, the Gristiti's. These are, you know, not your top name brands here, which is fine.
Now, is this a Whole Foods?
We have that. We have those.
But a Trader Joe's, maybe.
We have a couple of those, too, but nothing near me. So I go to the, you know, the little local joint.
Yeah, I don't have either of those either.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're missing much.
Yeah, I guess the Whole Foods has Beyond Meat. It's really good vegan.
It would probably be very helpful for someone in your state.
Condition, yeah.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
Coffee with Kahlua.
Excellent, excellent.
Kahlua purchased in part by your wedding gift to us, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear that.
We bought some rum for rum and eggnog so we can have some holiday drinks tonight when we set up our Christmas tree. And that was the other part that we bought with your gift. So thank you so much.
Well, you are absolutely welcome. Mm-hmm. But also, what's the vegan eggnog situation?
There's a few different kinds you can get, whether you get like almond milk with it. how to say this? It's probably tastes like something that someone who's never had eggnog but may have, you know, seen it in a movie or heard it described and then went ahead and made a soy-based product about that. The similarities really really stop around the name and the aroma. But the taste is not that close. But, you know, you put enough rum in it and doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, you can stomach it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the kind of thing that I don't look forward to soy eggnog, you know, coming to the grocery store like one might look forward to a regular dairy and an egg based nog.
Sure. So you would call this plant nog.
Yep. You know what? That's exactly what we call it here.
Or mm-hmm. Try this on for size.
Okay.
Veg nog.
Veg nog sounds like an alien from a bad movie.
It could be both.
Veg nog the destroyer.
He comes in liquid form, but once a year.
Yeah, that's it. And then the hero has to drink veg nog. And that's how the movie ends.
I think we should do a Kickstarter for this.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we're going to sell this script and get rich. This is how we're going to turn our skills, and our skills are, of course, as filmmakers, into something that will pay the bills.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because the bills are piling up, Christopher. Obviously, after episode 69, where we really hit our high point, I quit my job. I sold a few of my possessions so that I could acquire more better possessions. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just going to make money, you know, as a podcaster and as a filmmaker.
Sure. So you sold some things. You packed up a little bindle. You're mm-hmm. going to hit the rails, see what you can find, that right. kind of thing.
Got some veg nog. And it's just me and my ideas.
The open road.
Yeah. So hopefully this podcast takes off.
Yeah. I mean, we've only been doing it for a few weeks, so hard to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's 70 weeks in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Oof. Very little.
How many episodes have we missed? Like maybe two?
Yeah, I think right about two. I mean, we've certainly done weeks where we produced a couple in advance and that kind of thing, but yeah, not many.
Oh, man. You'd think if we were a podcast that people liked and listened to, I'd be really proud of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got everything else. We got the consistency. We've got
attractive hosts.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's what you look for in a podcast. A purely exactly. audio-based format.
I look really good in like a tasteful nude.
I look really good in 128 kilobytes per second. So,
there you go. Nailed
That's
it.
That's all you need.
So, speaking of attractiveness, mm-hmm. you were doing No Shave November.
Yeah.
how does it feel to kind of be done with that?
It feels not too different.
Oh.
I mean, I look much better. I mean, let's... Just to give a little bit of background, this was technically No Shave November, except that I started in like mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
So this was really No Shave mid-September,
No Shave
October,
fall.
And November.
No Shave Autumn.
No Shave Autumn, yeah. So it had kind of gotten out of hand, and I'm happy to be slightly cleaner looking now, more respectable.
How did you feel, let's say, members of the opposite sex felt about the face hair?
Generally well received up until maybe the last week or two, really.
Oh, that's good.
Which I thought was completely fair and reasonable, because it did look pretty shitty.
It had certainly hit a plateau, let's say, again, like this podcast.
Yeah.
It definitely plateaued at a certain point where improvement wasn't really happening. But no, that's exciting. It's exciting. So now you've shaved it off. You've got yourself a chin strap. And you're just going to go for an overly sculpted look.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm always going for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally in my life, sculpted is kind of the word I would use to describe my
everything about you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, certain je ne sais quoi that I, that I cultivate.
Did you say je ne sais quoi?
I said je ne sais quoi.
Okay, well.
It's French.
Oh, yeah, no,
I
know.
Do you have that up in Canada?
No, no one here speaks French, actually.
Wow, that's
Italian,
weird.
Italian, mostly.
Huh.
You don't hear all about right. that a lot, but yeah, like, no, Quebec, really just in and around 1995 or 1998, whenever they were trying to separate, actually the part of the referendum that got approved was they were switching entirely to Italian.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was about a 7 to 8 year transition period, but it turns out those languages are fundamentally the same.
That's what I hear. I hear all the Romance languages. It's basically just one language.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's
change a few vowels here and there.
That's precisely what it was. All the mannerisms and all kind of the the things that make the language not English are there's effectively like 5 or 6 phrases, and that's really it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. This is good information here.
Yeah, I mean, Canadian history is it can actually be interesting once you kind of dig down a little bit and start making things up.
emphasis on the making things up. Sorry, Canada, you're actually really cool. I like you a lot.
Yeah, but historically, it's kind of. I mean, we didn't. Yeah, exactly. We didn't get the interesting stuff. Though we do have that poster, I think you saw it when you were in town, in front of our historical graveyard, the poster talking about why we're not Americans.
Yeah, that was a great poster. I think I might have snapped a photo of that. I mean, the answer to that was we're not Americans because we're lame, I believe is the direct quote of what it said.
I think fair? It just kind of rambled on for a while and then just ended. Yeah, I don't think there was an answer. I think it was more hypothetical. Like, mm-hmm. Why aren't we Americans? Anyway, have a good day. I think
maybe
that's...
Maybe we should be.
Maybe, honestly, thought. Food for thought. I mean, you guys have a whole situation down there right now that I think we're all really proud of. And I think it's pretty exciting. An opportunity. Maybe now's our chance to kind of join America, see if we can get a bunch of our citizens shot by police officers.
Wow, boy.
And moving right along.
Yeah. Do we have anything relevant to talk about?
I don't think so. I mean, should we just go right into like gear recommendations?
Just skip right to the end.
Gotta wrap it up. I mean, how are you doing?
I am alive and I'm drinking apple cider. No, I mean, I'm okay. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. I think I might have mentioned last week that I'm sort of, maybe I didn't mention this. I don't remember, but I'm kind of going on a little bit of a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
With my business, not really, stopping work, but sort of giving myself a little bit of time to shift things around, sort of figure out what I want to do next for Van Patten Media, what side projects I want to work on, that kind of thing. And it's actually been a lot harder to get into this than I really thought it would be. So I had sort of planned to take all of December off.
It's been difficult to not work.
Yeah. I mean, I'd sort of planned to take all of December off, and now we're a week, I think exactly a week as of today, into December, and I'm still doing work.
Ah, I see.
And I think, that's partly because I don't want to leave bugs unfixed and things like that and have them pile up for when I do get back. But it has been a little bit tricky to slow down as much as I would like to. So I don't know what the takeaway there is, but it's really just been a question of figuring out what I want to work on next, and I am sort of excited. I think we talked about this last week. The branding of this show is going to change, and I've started to do a little bit of preliminary thinking about the new website design, how that's all going to look. So I think that's going to be a big part of the next couple weeks for me, is working on that, and I would love to have that launched by January so we can sort of dive all into that, maybe get some new advertising, different things like that, to really try to kick the show up a notch.
That's very exciting. Are you? So you're a week in. It's not going quite as you'd expected. Does it still seem like a good idea? Is this something that, you know, a sabbatical from work, is that something that you would recommend to someone?
You know, I think if you're in a situation where you can take it, I think it's totally worth it. I think, especially, you know, for me in particular, coming off the past couple of months where we launched, I think 5 or 6 WordPress sites in the month of November, sort of back to back to back. And that was kind of insane and not something that I'll ever do again. But it did sort of burn me out. And obviously that's kind of always the case. And we've talked about our burnout respectively, you know, for many episodes, but, no, I think the idea of taking a little break is good, but, I think you also have to be realistic about whether you're actually going to be able to manage it or not. I thought it would be a little easier to get into break mode. I mean, it's not really, it hasn't been, but I want to clarify, like when I say break mode, I mean, I'm still going to be making websites and I'm still going to be, you know, working on money-making efforts. They're just going to be sort of my own projects rather than paid client projects.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure part of that is, you know, a matter of pace as well. If they're your own projects, you know, deadlines and things like that could be a little bit more idealized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the trick of, you know, why I'm not really the trick, but that's why I'm focusing on these projects now, because, you know, I mean, we've been talking about doing the Not a Real Job rebranding now for at least a month and a half, maybe longer. But because I just didn't have the capacity to work on it, it wasn't going to happen.
And I have no applicable skills to actually help this move forward. So it's really, if you don't do it,
no one does.
No one does. Exactly.
No, but I mean, you've been very busy as well.
I'm more the idea guy, you know?
Sure. You bring.
I don't like to get down in the weeds.
No. That's how
I consider whatever it is that you do sounds a lot like the weeds.
You're more of a big picture thinker.
Yeah, exactly. Like I like to stay up near the top, where I can kind of oversee everything. Can I just check in? Sometimes I'll what I like to do is just send an email going, just checking in. That's really, I think, the most valuable thing I can provide is really sending a few emails a day just to kind of see how things are going and then just
test the waters a bit, you know, just sort of,
you know, maybe we can follow up. Maybe we can take this conversation offline. Maybe we can
do a status update kind of thing.
We're definitely going to have 5 to 6 meetings per week about this.
Yeah. We got to stay in sync.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to send you over an Excel document. That's really just a way that you can kind of keep me up to date. Let me know what you're up to and we can figure out if you're working hard enough on this project.
I think that's a great idea. See, this is the motivation or the structure that I needed in this project.
So. Well, this is I know this much about how to keep people motivated. You got to send a lot of emails and you got to give a lot of Excel documents.
Yeah, I would even emphasize the Excel documents. I would say that's the priority, really.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think the issue, a lot of people fall into the idea that, you know, let's use one Excel document to kind of, you know, maintain a whole project. What I like to do is every element within a project gets its own Excel document with maybe 6 to 9 tabs per document that I really think, you know, Monday through Wednesday is status report updating. Thursday and Friday, whatever it is you do when I'm not checking in, I'll give you Thursday, Friday to try to move things forward so that by Monday you've got some new status updates.
But that requires Saturday, Sunday work as well, which I think, I mean, we usually can go unsaid. Like, obviously, you're going to have to burn the midnight
oil. Chris, you're going to have to miss church this week. Like, come on, you're fine. Jesus Christ. Creatives.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you say that, but today is actually going to be a work day for me. So,
did you go to church today?
No, I did not because I have work to do.
Oof.
Well, it's a work day.
Yeah, it's a work day for me, too. But actually, speaking of status reports, I do have some things I'd like to talk about now that we're 20 minutes in.
Sure.
We can probably cut out the first 16 minutes.
Oh, cut out the first 20 minutes.
The first 20 minutes. Let's start right here. Welcome to episode 70 of Not a Real Job.
Where we turn your skills into things that pay the bills.
And hobbies into jobbies.
Absolutely.
So I recently, there's been a little bit of change in my position at work. I had been the director of our
upwards
social media
or downwards.
Everything's always upwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Upwards. Okay.
Upwards and onwards, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been the director of our social media team, and recently I'm also helping to manage resources and, you know, kind of help out with the organization for another team, the search marketing and SEO team. So now I'm effectively the director of our whole content. Your favorite word. Team. So yeah, over the last couple weeks, the team that I work on has doubled in size. So a lot of my ideas around, you know, how we could do things like status reporting, how we can do things on, you know, internal meetings and communication have been tested a lot when, you know, a team goes from, you know, 4 to 5 to 9 to 10 over the course of a couple weeks. So if anyone else is going through any issues like this, I just have a couple recommendations for what we've been able to do to kind of keep things on track and not lose the momentum and kind of the, honestly, the level of comfort that we'd had at a smaller size. And those two things are Slack, which is the greatest internal communication tool ever. On our team, we've now reduced or eliminated internal emails. So there's 9 or 10 of us who no longer send each other emails, which has reduced the amount of emails that I receive in a week by an extreme amount. All our file sharing is through Slack. We have, you know, ways of communicating with every single project we have. It's all archived. It's all searchable. So Slack has been incredibly useful to reduce the amount of internal communication. Well, not the reduce the internal communication, but reduce the communication that's disruptive, which is email. Email stresses people out. And it can kind of keep you from being able to focus on what you really want to focus on. And the other thing is 15five.com. That's numeral 15, FIVE.com. And what that is the idea is that each person on a team spends about 15 minutes per week filling out a quick status report on, you know, what big wins they had that week, what they're excited about, any challenges they're facing, anything that their manager can do to be useful, and their, you know, priorities for the next week. And then it takes about 5 minutes for the person who reviews that report, which in our case is me, to go through, read about it, leave comments, you know, and kind of figure out what's going on. So now, instead of having, you know, a weekly status meeting that could take us an hour, through the use of Slack and 15five.com, we've been able to get it down to a 20-minute status meeting every 2 weeks, which everyone is much, much happier about. So just some tips for me on a quickly growing team and keeping things, you know, comfortable and happy and and flowing nicely. Yeah.
It's always interesting for me to hear people who sort of love Slack or HipChat, you know, those kinds of things. And really the pain point that I hear all the time, which you just addressed, is getting off of email. But it's very interesting because I'm somebody who loves email. And I spend most of my day in email happily. You know, I know there are a lot of people who do not like email and try to avoid it as much as possible, but I'm a big time emailer. I love it. So I don't know. I don't have really a takeaway point, but it's just interesting to hear that, you know, the majority of people hate email, and I'm someone who randomly just loves everything about it. I don't know.
Right. And I think that's fine. And email is certainly better than, you know, having to call someone all the time, or, you know, an email is good, especially if you're using like Google Apps or something for searchability and being able to keep things organized. But within a team, especially at an agency, there's a ton of internal communication that's kind of necessary to keep people up to date on what's going on with certain projects. There's a ton of file sharing as well. And you can use Dropbox, you can use other systems like that. But what ends up becoming the easiest thing to do, because again, if you're using Google Apps or another service where you can send big attachments, is, you know, people are sending Excel documents, people are sending PowerPoint files, people are sending PDFs, people are sending JPEGs all through email all the time during the day, and keeping up with the latest versions and honestly keeping your inbox maintainable. If you're getting, you know, 50 emails per day at least from just your internal team, that can overwhelm, let's say, the emails you're getting from clients or the emails you're getting from suppliers or the emails you're getting from outside your team that are important. Slack is able to put everything related to your internal team in one place so that your email becomes, you know, a little bit more reserved for things that are slightly higher priority.
I mean, I think for me, what it comes down to is that now we use an internal chat tool. We have HipChat, but we don't use it very much. And I think that's because for me, for the type of business, and I think, again, this is why I think you have to have these conversations with yourself or with your team to try to figure out what is right for you. But I think for me, a tool like Slack or HipChat are really great for having synchronous conversations. Like, I mean, they're chat apps. For me, an email is more of an asynchronous thing. So somebody can send me an email and I don't have to act on it for a day or two necessarily. With a chat app, there's a little bit of pressure to have that instant conversation, which I think works really great for a team that is maybe working the same set of hours, a team who is sort of in one place and is going to benefit from that level of communication. But for me, I sort of prioritize for myself and my business having flexibility in when I respond to things and how I respond to things. And email gives me a little bit of breathing room in that sense. Now, that's obviously not going to be right for everybody, but for me, that's what I prioritize. So that's I think why I don't really get, or not really get, I understand it, but I don't appreciate the chat tools in the same way that larger teams might.
Right. And I get what you're saying there. I would say, and I had the same fear. But what it's turned into is, say, on the asynchronous side, you open up your email at a various time throughout the day. And let's say you've got 50 new emails. They all, you know, feel at that immediate second that they're the same priority. So you've got to go through and pick. Are you starting at the bottom? Are you starting at the top? Are you going to scan through all the subject lines? You're going to scan through where these are from to help prioritize which is the first one you open versus Slack. So you open up Slack or you've been away from your computer for a while and all your messages are divided by, in our case, we divide our conversations by client. So they're done by client plus messages directly to you that are not public. Plus, you know, we've a few different channels on, you know, random conversations, cool reading. So in an email sense, when someone's sending you a cool link to Mashable about a new tool you might want to read, that immediately gets the same priority as, you know, a client or someone on your team posting about a crisis.
See, I think this might be the key difference is that one, not really, there's not a one, it is the only point, which is that I don't have those situations, I guess, is what it comes down to, because my team is really, at any given time, no more than two or three people working,
right.
Plus, you know, there's a small support staff, you know, assisting and doing other little things, but they're not people who, you know, would ever need to be included in an internal chat room or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, that's just not the level of communication that I need. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and I've also gotten to a point where I am very good at email. I can get through 15 emails in 3 minutes. I've gotten very good at sort of a GTD style, you know, starring things and certain auto labeling of things and that kind of thing that makes it a little bit easier for me to parse email, which is why I end every day on inbox zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that consistently since probably March or so.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I guess the point is that there is no right answer and there's no wrong answer. And I think, we say this all the time, but it comes down to what you are trying to accomplish. It comes down to what you're trying to do. You need to, as you said that you did, like if, whenever you hear someone saying like, this is the email killer, or this is the way you need to do things, take that with a grain of salt. Maybe it will be the way that works, but don't feel like just because we're saying that this is how we do things, that's how you should do things. It's not the case at all.
Oh, right. Exactly. And you're in a position where you hear this as an email killer and go, well, that doesn't make my life any better because I like email and I'm effective with email.
Yeah, exactly. But for you, you know, you don't like email or not saying you're not effective, but
yeah, for me and my team, email had just become overwhelming. And it certainly you know, got to the point where I knew there was a problem when, you know, emails are just going unanswered, whether those are emails from clients or whether those are emails from me or another person on the team. You can get the sense that for my team, and at least, you know, some people on the team, email had become a significant challenge. So Slack is a way for us to kind of reduce the amount of internal email to, frankly, close to zero. Of course, there's other people on in the company who still email back and forth. But for us, you know, on our team, where the majority of internal email came from, we're able to move that into a place where it's easy to prioritize and easy to categorize what conversations about were about. I mean, we had, you know, we're emailing plus we've got a bunch of different GChat windows open, you know, plus we've got, you know, clients sending emails and, you know, and meetings and everything like that. Slack was able to take, okay, for everyone on our team, it's out of your inbox now. So it's much easier to hit inbox zero. It's much easier to keep things organized. So I would say, yeah, if you're in a position where you're finding email to be a challenge, then I would definitely look into Slack. And what amazed me was how fast, like, I've never been part of a tool or software rollout that people gravitated to and started using so quickly. We made the transition to Slack really over the course of a couple of days. It was within a work week that we had moved all our conversations over to Slack because people just found it so much more useful. Especially, you know, having the starting off with a channel just for random, you know, links and conversations and BuzzFeed quizzes and stuff like that, giving people a place to move their non-work related conversations helped as well.
Now, do you call this room in your Slack setup? Do you call it? And if not, I think you should.
Okay.
The water cooler.
No, we don't, but perhaps we should. We don't have a lot of conversations around our water cooler.
Do you have a water cooler?
We do, absolutely. Okay. We do have one, but I guess it's really close to the bathroom. So if you're hanging around the water cooler, you're really hanging around the bathroom.
Sure, which is not nearly as attractive.
No, it's not. It's not really quite as fun. And also our water cooler is really in the hallway. So it's not like it's not like a kitchen. We don't have a kitchen up on our floor. And honestly, the kitchen on the floor below us is too small to really facilitate the old chit chat.
Mm-hmm. But Slack.
Happen. Yeah, we have a channel called Random.
Channel and that will be called Water Cooler.
That will be called Water. I'll change that right now.
Perfect.
And let everyone know that they need to email you about it.
Awesome.
You're going to get a lot more email.
I'll take it.
Excellent. All right.
This has been our show.
It's been,
we talked about something that was actually maybe possibly potentially probably not useful to people.
Part of me thinks we should have started with that.
We should probably plan these episodes in advance at some point.
I guess, well, we have outlines for all our shows. The problem is, here's the problem that I've identified, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at or put anything into our show outlines before.
You know, Joel, starts. Maybe we should have a weekly Excel file that we send to each other to put show ideas into.
I think, I don't want to make this more complicated, but what I was thinking is that we each prepare our own Excel files,
mm-hmm.
and then we exchange them,
mm-hmm.
and then we compile a new combined Excel sheet, and then we exchange that to make sure that we both combine the same things.
And then I think we have to have like a 25-minute sync up meeting to just kind of make sure that we're on the same page, and then we can record the show.
Yeah, we should probably have a phone call. So do you mind setting up like a go-to meeting?
Yeah, sure. I'll put out a Google Calendar reminder. We'll get the whole thing going.
I use Outlook, actually. Are you able to send me like an Outlook invite?
Yeah, I think so. I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do.
Because I use a Windows PC for all my calendar related issues. Because I really like the look and feel of
now, which Microsoft. Outlook is this? That might play a factor.
I think it's like Outlook 95.
I've got 2003, so we might have a little bit of issue, but I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I think they probably changed. Yeah, because you're probably running off of a .ics or .ici or whatever that is file. I'm pretty sure Windows 95, it was all just plain text.
Actually, I think it was all managed with doc files.
Oh, .doc before the .docx.
Yeah.
Well, let's schedule another meeting to discuss our meetings.
Perfect.
Anyway, gear picks.
Gear picks. Take it away.
I'm trying to think, did I talk about my Happy Light compact energy lamp before?
You sure did.
Okay. That was what I was going to talk about. So why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, I'll actually drop in here to say, to explain the gear picks for those of you who are new to the show, which is probably none of you. But that's okay. The gear picks are, products that we like that we've recently bought on Amazon.com.
Amazon.ca.
Sure, that as well. Amazon.co.uk. We put these gear picks on our website. So if this is a product that you are interested in trying out, you can go to our website, click the link, buy it, and then we get a small percentage of that, which helps us make the show. So I'm putting in this week, I don't think I've talked about this before, but if I have, I'm sorry. The Fujitsu ScanSnap S1100 mobile scanner.
Mm.
This thing is tiny. It's about the size of a paper towel roll. And you can scan documents. It will go through and do the OCR, which lets you search inside the PDFs. And I love it. I use it to do receipt scanning.
Now, did you know that in Canada, we call it toweled paper?
Did you really?
Yep.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
No, it's true, though.
Now, what do you have? What's your plural? Because for us, it's papers, towel.
Oh, no, it's towel. It's toweled papers. Yeah, no.
Toweled papers. Okay, not nearly as good. But
no, papers, towel. Oh, motor's boat. Anyway,
what are you putting in?
I'm putting in the Winsome Wood bar cart, the espresso finish. So just about a year ago, we moved. My team moved upstairs. So we got kind of new offices, and I had my own office, which is frankly too. This is something interesting to complain about. It's really too big, and I really should have another person in my office, and that'll probably happen soon enough as the team expands. But I really needed to just, fill the space. So I got myself a bar cart for my office, all Mad Men style, or Mads Men. And I got a bar cart to put alcohol on in my office. So this Winsome Wood bar cart, it was fairly easy to assemble. It feels quite sturdy. It's got a mirror finish on top. It's got a wine rack.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. So I recommend it. It's less than $200 in Canada. So it's probably like $8 to $9 in the United States of America.
$132.
Holy crap. Well, look at you go. And it's eligible for Prime, at least in Canada.
It is here too.
Excellent. So, get it tomorrow.
Perfect.
Set it up.
I'll buy three.
Excellent. You should probably do that. I don't think they stack, but they would probably go side by side quite well.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. Nice.
Cool. Well, that's our stupid show. What do we have to say?
It's a stupid show. I hate this show.
It's a good show.
Everyone listen to The Flophouse instead of the show. It's a great podcast.
Sure.
It's about bad movies.
Well, if you do like our show, if you do think we're not terrible, then you can share the show with your friends. And you can do that really easily by going to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Nargecast. And you can find old episodes there. It's very easy to link to certain segments of the show. So if you know someone drowning in email, you can just go over to YouTube, click on the email segment link, and then share that with your friends very easily.
You wouldn't start at the beginning of this episode?
Well, I'm just saying if that's a specific concern, email is an issue.
I think the lead up we did really gave the necessary context.
Really punched it up a bit?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you can do that too. You can start from the beginning. You can start from anywhere you like, but it's a really easy way to share the show. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, facebook.com/notarealjob, twitter.com/nargecast. And then we are also on Twitter ourselves at Chris Van Patten, at Joel Kelly. And those links, of course, are on notarealjob.com. And finally, please give us a shout on iTunes if you like the show. It really it warms the cockles of our hearts to see people talking about us on iTunes. You can do that at notarealjob.com/iTunes. It will redirect you to the iTunes store. I believe if you're on an iPhone or iPad or on a Mac, I don't know how it works on Windows, but you can, of course, just open up iTunes, search the store, find us, and go from there.
Now, what is a cockle?
You know, I'm not really sure, but I think it's a fun thing to say.
Google tells me that it's an edible burrowing bivalve mollusk with a strong ribbed shell.
Interesting. I'll take it.
So what? How does that? Okay, hold on. Hold on, everyone. Sorry, this is important. Cockle of heart. What does that mean? Warm the cockles of someone's heart. Apparently cockles look like hearts.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you were telling people to a 17th century unknown, possibly due to resemblance of cockles to hearts. Alternatively, maybe a corruption of cockle-y, which means ventricles. Oh, it might mean ventricles of the heart.
It could mean a lot of things.
It could. It could possibly be inspired by mollusks opening when exposed to warmth, notably cooking.
Now, where are you getting all this information?
I got it off a little website called Wiktionary.
Wiktionary. I think I've heard of that.
Yep. It's a little website called cockles.com. Don't go there. I don't know what that is. All right. Well, that was a dumb show, but thanks, everyone, for listening. I love you all. And if you do listen to the show, maybe just say hi on Twitter.
We'd really appreciate it.
We'd really like to just know that you're out there and that you love us and that you're deeply, deeply physically attracted to us.
That's, I think, the key takeaway here.
It's literally all that matters to me is that people think I'm pretty.
No comment. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week with episode 71.
We got to do some holiday episode planning at some point.
Oh, man, we on that Christmas creep.
All right. Bye, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Bye.